Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are here. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, we are back, and Doug is here, but Jessica is in the comfortable confines of her home where she should be, and she joins us this morning on the phone lines. So, Doug, coming in from McKnight Road, I see that the Huskies are parked out front. You made it.
Yeah, it might have been the worst day I ever drove in here. One time, Jess and I drove in here the day after Snowmageddon. That was that might have been the worst. I'm not sure. Well, good morning. I'm Doug Oster from Everybody
and
Gardens.
It's not PennDOT's fault.
No.
Come on.
It's Snow's fault.
Yeah. So people quit banging on PennDOT. They're doing a great job.
It's actually better on this side of the tunnel than on that side of the tunnel.
Listen, coming in this morning in the 2 o'clock hour, and obviously it was before a lot of this rain turned into freezing rain, it was pretty much smooth sledding for me. And again, I want to remind everyone, and we had Steve Cowan on.
Sledding.
We had Steve Cowan on earlier today from PennDOT. You're going to be hearing a lot of the interview with Melinda over the next couple of hours. We have AccuWeather. She's got you covered as far as the newsroom. 45 miles an hour on the highways, Allegheny, Beaver, Washington counties. And Doug, as you said, somebody passed you this morning.
I'm driving a four-wheel drive truck at about 40 miles an hour, and somebody in a rear-wheel drive vehicle passed me on the freeway.
Can it wait? All right.
Well, let's get our good morning. I'm Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser. I think that was Ashley that passed you.
Yeah,
to produce the show, so she was probably trying to get here in a hurry.
Oh, Jess, I'm glad you stayed home, because I figured with a truck I could make it here, but other than that, people stay home today. The roads are just awful. You know, there was nothing, you couldn't see any road. So.
No, listen, and with the ice out there, please just stay home, relax, and listen to the radio and put another log on the fire. Hey, we're going to give somebody that happens to be the 10th caller right now, 412-922-1020, a $25 gift certificate to Sorgles. So if you're the 10th caller, you'll win that gift certificate. So what would you two like to discuss today? By the way, we want to hear from you. This is a great day to think spring and talk about your garden and your plans, and all of our lines are open. You can reach Doug and Jess by dialing 866-391-1020. You can text us on that same number that you call in. That's the Right Automotive text line, the best deal in town, and Dollar Bank Instant Access, kdkradio.com. Doug?
Well, Jess, actually there is some good news about the snow. It's an insulator, right?
Indeed. So any plant that is out in your garden that is a little bit maybe marginally hardy, maybe you have one of the hardier varieties of rosemary out there, when we get cold weather like this, it's good to have snow because it does act as an insulator. It keeps those drying winter winds from pulling moisture out of the leaves that are still on those types of plants. And so in that regard, it's good, but it's certainly no fun to drive in.
For me, with all these greens and stuff out in the garden, I was actually hoping to get some snow because it's going to get so cold. You know, 5 degrees they are forecasting, and that's the problem area for me, is when I've got those greens out there and it gets that cold, you know, without snow, and that's what happened last year. It got real cold, we didn't have any snow cover, and I lost a lot of those greens, so I'm not happy for the snow. I'm not happy to drive through the snow, but I'm happy for my plants.
Right. You have to find a positive in all of it. That's for sure. But, you know, most of the plants that we have planted out in our landscapes, you know, the trees and shrubs and perennials, if we've done a good job, we're choosing things that are hardy to, you know, zones 5 or zone 6. Zone 5 is, those plants are hardy to minus 20 degrees. Zone 6 is minus 10 degrees. So it has to get really cold for us to risk, for a sustained period of time, for us to risk most of the trees and shrubs and perennials, but certainly in your case, in the vegetable garden, with your greens and things in the cold frames, man, this kind of weather is really tough to get get them through.
I got some bad news, too. I started walking through the garden yesterday, and I didn't know that deer eat witch hazel. And they ate about 90% of the buds off, and you could just see all their hoof prints underneath that plant. And needless to say, I wasn't happy. I was saying a few choice words about that. So I'm going to have to get out there and spray that. But, when I thought witch hazel, I see them growing wild out on the edges of lakes and stuff and in the forest and don't see them bothered. And I was so looking forward to seeing those witch hazel bloom here in the winter.
Well, our suburban deer have different diets than deer out in rural areas do. And so I think in your case, there's probably fewer wild things for them to eat. And so they're going to be more prone to eating things like witch hazel, though you're right. I've not heard of them eating witch hazel before either, but I don't grow it in my garden, so I'm not sure. But that is such a shame because
just put that plant in. Right at the end of the season, and I walked by it and saw all those buds gone and those footprints. It made me definitely fantasize about putting up a tree stand.
To do what, Doug? Wait, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Jump down on one of those deer, wrestle them to the ground, and tell everybody to stay away from here.
You could just put some netting over the shrub. That would be effective as well.
It's too big. I'm going to have to spray it. Let's talk a little bit, because people are going to be inclined to see some plants that are going to be covered with snow out there, shrubs and evergreens especially. I say just leave them alone.
Yeah, a lot of people, feel like they need to go out there and rescue their shrubs. They go out with a broom and they try to take their snow shovel, right, and they try to knock all the snow off of those plants. But a lot of times when you do that, you end up breaking the stems of the plants by accident, and you can do more harm than good. So in most cases, unless it's an extremely heavy snowfall, like 12 inches or more, you want to just leave that snow lay on the plants. Because what happens is it slowly melts, then the elasticity in those shrub boughs returns and they kind of go back into their regular position. So it's really not a good idea to go out and knock that snow. Just leave it and let it melt naturally when the time comes.
All right, sounds good. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about this new basil I discovered at that trade show, Mance, Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show.
All right, congratulations to Mary Lee. She's the winner of that wonderful gift certificate from Sorgel. She happens to be from Beaver, Pennsylvania. Now would be a great time for you to phone in. All of our lines are open. You have a question, call us 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKVideo.com. Text us on the Red Automotive Line. Best deal in town.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, back at it, ladies and gentlemen, and the phones are starting to fill up, so we would love to hear from you. Jessica joining us on the phone today because of this crazy weather, and Nanoka the North, Doug, made it into the studio. And
barely made it in.
Well, how long was it to get here?
It wasn't long. It was just scary. You just don't want to be on the road when you can't see anything. No lines, no pavement, no nothing. And someone zips by you in a hurry.
Spend the day with me. I'll show you scary.
No, that's true. I can't wait to go home.
But what did we both say? How lucky we are to do what we do.
That's right.
Because there are people out working.
You have to have real jobs.
People, working in these elements. Let's go to Gary and Butler for Doug and Jess on the Organic Gardeners on KDK Radio. Hi, Gary.
Hey, good morning. Hey, just thank you for your show, and I always enjoyed listening to it. Just a real quick question about blue spruce. We're losing a lot of our blue spruce, I believe, from a fungus. I guess I have a two-part question. Number one, is there anything that you can do to prevent it? And number two, is there any other type of evergreen tree that you could plant that is not affected by this fungus?
Well, Jess, we've talked a lot about the fungal problems with the blue spruce. What is that called again? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's a canker. It's a type of canker, and I think it is Cytus septospora canker, or something similar to that. The guys at Davy Tree, they come on the show, talk about it an awful lot because it's really prevalent. I myself lost a big blue spruce in the front yard a few years ago. It usually starts with one limb at a time, dying from the bottom up and until the whole tree dies. The unfortunate thing is there's really nothing that you can do once the tree is affected. you have to be really careful because it's spread very easily from one tree to the next on pruning equipment. So if you're cutting off those boughs as they die, you need to make sure that you disinfect that pruning saw or, you know, clipper when moving from one tree to the next or even one branch to the next, just to slow down that spread. But once you got it, not much you can do.
Is there any way to prevent it? Is there any kind of fungal thing you can put on there just to try and slow it down before it hits the tree, or you just have to hope for the best?
You have to not touch your tree. I mean, that's number one. You know, don't prune it. Don't have somebody else come in and prune it, because a lot of times, like I said, that those spores are transferred, you know, on that pruning equipment. So, for example, if they're coming through and, you know, pruning the spruces that you have for the electric lines, they're going from one plant to the next. They don't always have very good sanitation with that, and that is a quick way to spread it. Even if you do, you know, have clean pruning equipment and you're opening up an injury on that plant and the fungal spores, you know, are in the air and can get on it that way, that's problematic as well. So don't injure the plant in any way, and just leave it be. You know, don't do any pruning injury or, you know, run into it with a lawnmower or anything like that. But there's lots of evergreens that don't, you know, get this pathogen. So things like white pine, I don't think that Serbian spruce gets it. I love the weeping Alaskan cedars. They don't get quite as big, but concolor firs are another good choice. So tons of choices at the garden center to replace that plant.
So I just got back from Baltimore, was at the Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show, and there was one thing there, Jess, that I was very excited to talk to you about. It's a new basil from Proven Winners called Amazel. It is downy, mildew resistant, and it's sterile. It will still try to flower and put some seeds on, but as long as you pinch them off, they say that the flavor of the basil stays the way it does before it flowers. So finally, a basil that's downy, mildew resistant.
Oh, that is very, very good news, because I know so many gardeners have had issues in these last few summers that have been really wet with basil downy mildew. So what's it called again?
Amazel, M-A-A-M-A-Z-E-L, Amazel.
Amazel. And is it going to hit the market this year?
Yep, it'll be out in the spring. Did you get the basil downy mildew this year?
You know, surprisingly, I had a little bit of it this year, but it wasn't until very late in the season. But the season before, oh my goodness, it was terrible. It's sort of, you know, you flip over the leaf, and on the underside, it has these sort of sooty black specks on the underside, and then eventually the leaves turn yellow and they all fall off the plant and you get a bunch of sticks and that's it, and no good basil. It really is really destructive. Did you have it in your garden?
You know, same with you, the same way you did. 2 years ago, it was really bad. I kept up to you know, going to the nursery and buying new basil to put in, and probably four times I replanted. But last year, it was good until the end of the season, so not too bad. But yeah, the fact also that it's sterile is interesting. So, again, you know, I was actually kind of going old school. I wasn't so excited about the new stuff coming out. I wanted to stick with the old things that were doing good for me. But now I've got something I've got to try for sure. And as far as tomatoes go, I'm sticking, I think, with my good old ones. But, Jess, I interviewed Gary Ipsen from Tomato Fest, and he grows 600, he's 74 years old, and him and his wife grow 600 different types of tomato, and he loves it, and he kind of gave me a couple other varieties. I'll see if I'm not going to talk about them because I don't know if I'm going to start them, but you know me, I probably will.
I have never known you to resist starting a tomato when someone gives you a new variety.
I know. It's awful. Have you seen anything out there tomato-wise yet that piques your interest?
Well, you know, I tried a few different ones last year. I always like to try one or two different varieties in addition to my old standbys. And frankly, I was not impressed by the two new varieties that I tried. So I'm thinking I might go with more of my, you know, my old favorite. You know, there's so many to like, and there's so much diversity among them, but I really feel like tomatoes are one of those things where if you find your staples that you just love the flavor of, there really is no reason to not grow them or to take a gamble. Maybe a gamble on one or two new ones if you have enough space, but if you don't, stick to the ones that you really know you love until you taste one, maybe that a friend grew, or that you got to sample from farmer's market, you know, that's a better way to take that risk on whether or not something is going to be good, unless, of course, you have a lot of room, like it sounds like Mr. Ibsen has.
He's growing in California, which makes things a little bit easier.
I should say so.
He is introducing one that he has named for Anthony Bourdain. He was a big fan of Anthony Bourdain, and what they did was they crossed Sun Gold and Amish paste together, and it took about 7 years to get a tomato that stabilized, and it's just a big heart-shaped, very tasty tomato. That might be one I've got to try. I don't know.
It's an interesting story behind it, though, and two interesting and very diverse tomatoes to go together to hybridize to make that.
Yeah, you got to figure a little orange cherry with a big meaty paste tomato crossed together. You're going to get a meaty tomato with that amazing sweet flavor. So there's always something out there, something new that again, you know, I'm trying to stick with my favorites. Over the years, how many different varieties of tomato do you think you've grown? Because I've probably grown 50 different, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say probably I'm up there, maybe even a little more. Because when we had the farm, you know, we had a lot more space, and so I would, you know, try different varieties. But, you know, again, when you're selling at a farmer's market, you don't want to get too different, right? Because then people don't recognize them, and then you don't sell the ones that are a little too funky looking, or you didn't back then. Maybe now I think people are a little more open to it. But, I'd say probably several dozen I've tried over the years. And after all of that trying, it's funny because you still go back to your same favorites. I mean, I remember the first time I grew Snow White, which is a wonderful little white cherry tomato that is just, it's sort of what Sun Gold is to you is what Snow White is to me. And I remember the first time I tried it, I was like, what the heck, a white cherry tomato? This is going to be gross. And I had it and I was like, oh, this is so not gross. And it's still my favorite. All the almost 20 years later, I still love growing that little white cherry tomato.
That's a great one.
That is a great one. And by the way, we were talking about people that really work. Farmers, they do not close their farm on days like
today.
Yeah,
no kidding.
They're out there working really
That's
hard.
A real job.
I know.
You think you have a real job, then you have a farmer. That's a real, real job.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
You know, I got to tell you, if you can get out there later today, Janoski's Restaurant, great place to get a good meal, comfort food, meat to loaf, mashed potatoes, all that good stuff. Getting ready for their Valentine's Day buffet as well. So I want to tell you, if you're the 10th caller, you're going to win a gift certificate to Janoski's out there in their farm and farm market expansion. Be the 10th caller, 412-922-1020. And we have another great sponsor back again.
That's right. Jess, I want to tell you about going down to Chapin's this week to get a bunch of herbs to build a windowsill herb garden. It's something I do every winter. I just love it. It's so much fun. And Chapin's, they must have had a bench 20 feet long filled with herbs, and it was so much fun just to be planting and putting some herbs up on the windowsill.
Oh, wow. That's good to know because, you know, herbs are one of those plants that many of them are pretty easy to grow on a windowsill as long as it gets enough sun. And if not, do they have any grow light little table?
Oh, yeah. They've got them there. And then I got a plant that I'd never seen before. Maybe you know of it. It's called olive plant. And when you pinch it off, it smells like olives and it's supposed to taste like olives, too. I'd never seen it before.
Oh, I've never heard of that either. Well, that sounds really interesting.
So they had a lot of cool stuff down there, curry plant, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, cool. And, you know, again, herbs are pretty easy to grow on the windowsill, so it's a little way to get your green thumb fix over the wintertime.
Ready to go to the phones, Rob?
I am ready to go to the phones. Let's say hi to Elaine in the North Hills. Elaine, go ahead. You're on KDK Radio's Organic Gardener.
How's the weather up there in the North Hills, Elaine?
I don't know. I haven't been out in 2 days.
Good for you.
Anyhow, I had a question for you because we just moved out here May of last year. And we had the front of the yard professionally landscaped with those composite-type planters with deer-resistant plants in it. and I am blind, so I can't even tell you what I have out there. Since it's going to be bitter and the ice and everything, do you think that I should put newspaper or something over and try to attach it to the composite garden?
At this point, I don't think there's any point in doing anything. Just let it go and see how it does, because we're at a certain point in the season where I think you'd probably do more damage than good by doing that. What do you think, Jess?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, if you had it professionally landscaped, I would like to think that those landscapers were putting in plants that are fully hardy and that the materials that they used could easily withstand a Pennsylvania winter. So there's really nothing that you can or should do to further protect them. They'll be fine.
Okay, can I ask a second question?
Sure, Elaine.
We bought a real Christmas tree with a bulb, and we got it done on Babcock. So anyhow, we kept it in the house until about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. And it is right now in our garage in a box with, it doesn't have heat in there, but it's trying to acclimate to the weather outside. Is this too cold for it, and do I need to put straw around it?
Well, I think it's definitely too cold to put it out now. What are we going to do, Jess? Because that ground's going to freeze solid here in a day or two.
No, it's staying
in the garage. You know, that's the conundrum with living Christmas trees, is you almost need to dig the planting hole as soon as you get the tree, and just let it sit empty until the plant is ready to acclimate to go back outside, so that the hole then is already ready. Normally you would put it in a garage and let it be in cold temperatures, and I think it's fine where it is now. I wouldn't worry about doing straw around the roots or anything like that, because
yeah,
it is fairly protected.
Garage, and it's going to stay there till spring. I'll be having someone put it in the ground for us.
Do you have windows in the garage?
In the front door.
Okay. The problem is, it's a lot of stress on that plant to be indoors and then to be in a place without a lot of light in the garage. So, if it makes it through to the spring, go ahead and plant it then. But I'm not so sure. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed for you. How's that?
Okay, yeah. Our yard actually faces Wildwood Country Club. And so what we had planned on doing was buying a few Christmas trees each year, use them at Christmas time, and then put them along the back fence. And I didn't know if we'll be able to do that from your advice you're telling me now, because I can't do it. I have some heart problems, so I can't be lifting things.
Okay.
And, I have to have someone do it for me. I don't know how reliable they'll be.
Yeah, it's probably best just then for her wait till spring, huh? If it was another situation, I guess I would be thinking if you could lift it and she can't, I would want to whenever there's a thaw, I'd want to get it out and get some light on it and at least leave the garage door open.
Right. But I mean, and that's the thing. That's why when people get living Christmas trees, they have to plan ahead for it, right? So that it takes about 2 weeks to reacclimate it back outdoors by putting in a garage or something like that, and then it should go right out into the, that hole that you had pre-dug. So this is a little bit of a special situation. I'm hoping the plant will make it through till spring, but it's one of those things where, only time will tell.
Yeah. All right. Listen, you got that Mr. DeSantis and Company home show just around the bend.
Yeah, we're starting our planning for the home and garden show at the convention center, and I've got a stage there. John told me that stage is yours, Doug. You do what you want with it, and so it's going to be at least three times a day I'm going to be there. Something to think about when the weather breaks. It's going to be the first week of March, and 10 days. It is a blast. All the fans come, and I'm just ordering some very special seed to give away there. I can't wait to tell you about it.
All right, stay with us, because when we come back, more of your phone calls, and yes, Doug and Jess continue with the Organic Gardeners. Winner of that $25 gift certificate from Janoski's Route 30 in Clinton is Vanessa from Pittsburgh.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
It's that time again for Mrs. Know-It-All, our grower, horticulturist, and garden goddess, Denise Shriver. How are you in this cold and snowy morning?
I'm sitting in a nice warm room with a cat on my lap.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah, so I was at the Tropical Plant International Expo this week down in Fort Lauderdale because...
You poor thing.
What's wrong with Fort Lauderdale?
Oh, you poor thing. That sounds awful.
Yeah, actually, it was a little on the cool side. I was a little disappointed.
What, like 60?
No, it was 70, but there was a cold front moving in, so it was pretty windy, and you know, we all had jackets on.
You're breaking my heart.
Yeah, I know I am, but saw some really cool things there. So a lot of the tillandsias from Live Trends, and they have their little people called the Thinkers, and then they have Thinkers 2.0, and they're just little figures that they put the tillandsias on. They're great for people who don't really want to have to worry about, you know, their plants being watered, or they live in an apartment, or they can't be, you know, moving things around. These are little guys. You can put them right on a windowsill, and once a week maybe mist them or put them in a little water for a few minutes and drain them and put them right back, and that's all that's required of them. It's the coolest thing.
So the tillandsia are attached to a figure, is that what you're saying?
Well, actually, there's a hole in their head, and you just plop it right in there. And it's not attached. You don't have to worry about that. And then there was a place called Eve's Garden, and what's really cool about this is a woman-certified-owned company, and what she has are different little kind of grab-and-go gifts. Most of them are tillandsias, which was really big at the show, but they're already in a little gift bag. She sells them in grocery stores, drug stores, garden centers. You can just, you know, we're going to a party tonight. You know, let me take something instead of the usual bottle of wine, which people bring me, and I have way too much of it. And, you know, go.
You're complaining about that?
You know what? We're not big wine drinkers. I probably have 20 bottles of wine.
I'll be over at noon.
Okay. You know, and so, you know, we saw cool things like that. And then we actually toured some of the private gardens down there, including one called Patch of Heaven. And it is only open one day a month right now. It's just become a nonprofit. And they have orchids just hanging through the trees. It's a little further south in Homestead, Florida. And they have orchids hanging in the trees. They have, you know, statuary. They have some carved pieces of tropical wood that have been made into furniture down there that are just unbelievable. You actually want to go up and, like, pet the table because it's so beautiful. It has, like, the live edge that's real trendy right now. So we got to see a lot of that. And then we got to hear, you know, speakers and just see all these things that we grow as houseplants and they grow as trees.
Wow.
It's a little disappointing.
Well, I'm sure you're glad to be back up north.
No.
Thanks, Mrs. Know-It-All. Well, Jess, what do you know about tillandsia?
Well, actually, it's funny that she brought up air plants because they are so trendy right now. In fact, they're so trendy that I went out and bought a bunch of them.
Because you're so trendy?
Because that's why, right? So I was up at Quality Gardens up in Mars. Oh, my gosh, a couple of weeks ago, I was up in that area for something, and I stopped by, and they had these cute little, they're like square frames, maybe 8 inches by 8 inches, and then they're strung with jute twine. So they have like a little maze of jute twine in the center of this box, and you hang them on the wall, and then you put the tillandsia, you tuck them into the strings. So I hung up three of those in the upstairs bathroom, and I put a couple of tillandsia in each of them. And then I didn't think about the fact that it was right over the heat register for the forced air heat. So I did lose a couple of them because I didn't, I wasn't watering them enough or misting them enough because.
Is that all you need to do is just have like a mister and how often?
Well, if you're just using a mister, you technically you should do it a couple of times a week, which is sort of a misconception about air plants. People think you don't have to do anything to them, but that's not true. They still need water. They're from tropical environments. They live up in the trees in very humid climates, so they still need moisture. I don't do it that way because I don't want to miss get that water on the wall. So what I do is I take them out of those frames and I put them in a bowl of water for about 20 minutes, and I do that once a week on the same day that I water all my other houseplants. And then I let them drain and then put them back onto display. But I did kill a few,
So I ran down to Sorgel's, and they have a really cool, some really cool ways to display them there too. And I picked up a couple more and tucked those in. Like, people say the green ones are easier to care for than the sort of silvery ones. And, the silvery ones were the first ones that died for me because of the heat register. So I replaced them with all green, and so far they seem to be doing really well.
All right, Jess, time to say goodbye. Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden
and a safer place to live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.